morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of Fork Broadcasting or WSIP Radio, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning, great Scott.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I hope it rains.
You hope it rains so you don't have to mow grass?
Well, that grass is not the issue. But,
okay.
You know, we put out some flowers recently, and we kept saying, like 2 days ago, it's going to rain. So then yesterday, it's going to rain.
Oh.
Tony Cavalier said it was going to start somewhere around 2 a.m. night before last.
Didn't do it.
Hadn't happened. So we got to water those flowers.
Well, yesterday, leaving church yesterday evening, had a warning. I think it was a flash flood warning or something. And we come out of church and the black clouds are back there. And I thought, oh boy, we're going to get a good one here. And nothing.
Nothing.
So who knows?
We will. In God's good timing.
In God's timing. That's right.
Speaking of timing, it, 10:32 and 46 seconds, and we've just got on the air, and there may be someone out there that wants to talk to us.
They could do that. They could give us a call real quick at 789-0318, 789-0318. Or if it's easier for you to, maybe email us, you can do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. You can do that anytime.
Yeah.
That way the question will be there waiting for us when we get ready for the show.
Sure. And we had a question last week, and probably was checking multiple devices here and overlooked one. And I thought we had the same question today, but it's just a carryover from last week. I did answer it off air, out of studio. Had to do with David writing the 86th Psalm.
Okay.
The question was, in fact, did David write the 86th Psalm? And there's some conjecture. There's some a feeling that maybe he didn't. That maybe it was Moses or someone else. Maybe one of the other song leaders that are found in the Psalms. But it is believed that he, in fact, did write the 86th Psalm, and he is pouring his heart out to God, which David did.
Oh yes,
I mean
he was
famous for that, pouring his heart out to God. But then he had reason to, because he was like you and me and everybody else. He was a sinner man.
He was a man with flesh on his body.
He needed all the help he could get. So the querist didn't elaborate. He just wanted to know if, in fact, he wrote that. And I believe he did, yes.
Okay.
Yes. We had a question this morning, Timotheus, and I wanted to get that one in early, and because I don't like to hold them over, we pride ourselves here on the program, Timotheus, of taking care of things as soon as possible.
We like to be timely.
We do like to be timely. So the telephone number that Timotheus gave you is here in the studio. I've been giving you we've been giving you my cell phone number. And I'd like to do that again, 367-0137. I do get some text messages pertaining to the program and also some calls. So if you'd like to do that, out of the area, 606-367-0137. Or, of course, in the area, you don't have to dial the area code.
Mm-hmm.
Or punch in the area code. We still say dial, don't we?
Do you punch your numbers?
Well, I guess I do.
I tap mine.
Do you tap them?
Yeah,
I get mad at them, bro. My fingers are too fat.
Well, mine aren't too.
I use the Columbus method.
The Columbus method?
Yeah, hunt a key and land on it. That's what.
I heard that one.
Yeah.
I tell people I went to, HPU.
HPU.
Yeah, Hunt and Peck University.
Hunt and Peck University. That's a good one.
I like the Columbus one better.
Well, I think I do too. But anyway, here we go. Question for this morning on our email, our God's Point of View.
At Yahoo.com.
At Yahoo.com. Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, and it's not a gentleman. If it said gentleman, I would know who it was referring to. But
hey, they included me, too. It's a good day.
Good morning, gentlemen. I would love to hear what you think of the embassy moving to Jerusalem and the prophecy fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it speak about it in the Bible? Thank you and have a great day. The United States Embassy, America's Embassy, Timotheus, to my recollection, is not mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The embassy moving to Jerusalem is viewed by many people, especially those who hold to what's called a dispensationalist view of the end times, as further proof that Christ will, in fact, return there to Jerusalem, and there he will defeat all of his enemies and set on, as is mentioned oftentimes in the Old Testament, in the writings of David, the throne of David, and there he will begin his millennial reign. But the embassy itself, the American embassy, is not referred to in Scripture per se.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of references in the Bible to the end times, of course, and the coming of Christ, bringing his saints with him, who have been taken out of this world. It's called the dispensationalist view. All evangelicals, as they're often referred to, do not believe that. I am one who does believe that. I believe that, in fact, there will be a literal reign of Christ, 1,000 years, upon this earth. And as Revelation says, I take as much as I possibly can literally when I read the Bible. And obviously, if something is steeped in symbolism, we must endeavor to take that symbolically.
Yeah, and it takes a maturity to get, and we've had this discussion before.
We have.
About what you can take literally and what you shouldn't take literally. You have to kind of learn to understand what the writer is saying or what Jesus said about certain things.
And aren't we still learning?
Every day.
Yeah,
We're
not suggesting that we've got it all figured out. I do, over the years, have known people who have said Christ is coming back at such and such a time. It appeared they had it all figured out. Of course, they didn't.
Yeah.
There have been many of those. History is replete with individuals who have led groups of people astray with those kinds of things. In the face of the clear scripture which says that not even the Son of Man knows when that time will come.
And you can take that literally.
You can take that literally. Jesus once gave us an outline about the coming, or I should say the signs of the coming, things we should watch for. It's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. There's at least 8 things, Timotheus, that will come into play. Jesus said, again, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. One of the things, the first thing he says, false prophets and people who claim to be Christ. That's going to happen. Wars and threats of wars. That is happening.
Yeah.
But if you know someone walking around today that says they're Jesus, then you can say, you know, this is fulfillment of that.
Yep.
Thirdly, an increase in the number of natural disasters.
Oh, boy.
Can we just say
Hawaii.
Volcano in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Wow. My, oh, my. Still don't know when that's going to be over, do we?
No.
And then we've got the persecution of Christians going on all over the world.
It's happening right now.
Yeah. Internal division and discord among Christians.
Oh.
Well, surely that would never happen.
Oh.
And then the immorality and insensitivity to immorality.
I think we're past insensitivity
now.
We're
desensitized.
Yeah, we're just full blown now.
Yeah, and then finally, Jesus talks about the proclamation of the gospel to every person in the world, and we've talked about, you know, how can that be, but yet we find individuals that have gone places and are discovering places that nobody knew anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And missionaries are taking the gospel all around the known world and then some. So these individuals are to be applauded and to be congratulated. I'll tell you another group, Timotheus, that should be applauded and congratulated, and that's our armed forces.
Amen.
You know, today is Armed Forces Day. And May 17th, 1952... The New York Times ran an article reminding readers, Armed Forces Day, observed that year while American troops were fighting in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We're still fighting.
Fighting. That's all
so
over the air again.
Korea. But here's some of what it said then. And just think about the New York Times today. You know, if you follow the news,
mm-hmm.
and I know you do, as a highly trained broadcast professional, I know you do because you have to report it. Here's a quote, part of a quote. This is the day on which we have the welcome opportunity to pay special tribute to the men and women who are in the service of their country
mm-hmm.
all over the world. They went on further and stated, Armed Forces Day won't be a matter of parades, receptions for a good many of them. They will all be in the line of duty, and some of them may give their lives in that duty. End of quote. The third Saturday in May, Armed Forces Day, and we salute our soldiers in all branches of military. We remember, and we don't remember this often enough.
No.
We will have no peace, no security, no freedom, no United States of America
mm-mm.
without them.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Memorial Day honors America's dead. Veterans Day honors those who have served in times past. But Armed Forces Day recognizes those who are presently serving. This morning, or was it last night, we keep four mugs. They're decorated kind of with a lot of, I guess some would call them gaudy. They're beer mugs is what they are.
Really?
Yeah, they're beer mugs.
Who's we now?
I told Ann, stop that stuff.
Okay.
When my younger brother John was in Germany
uh-huh.
Getting ready to go to Vietnam, and the war ended.
Mm-hmm.
War ended. Didn't have to go. But while he was in Germany, he sent us back these German, picture these German mugs when they have, what is it, Oktoberfest or something, and they're dancing around those
yeah.
little
and they're big. They're big.
Yes, they've got.
They're not like
handles.
Coffee mugs.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're gonna get your full money's worth in that.
Yeah.
And so I've never tried coffee in them. As a matter of fact, I've never drank from them.
Yeah.
We just set them out as decorative things, and we remember him by that as well.
Yeah.
But where was I going with that, Timotheus?
Well, you're talking about the mugs.
Yeah.
You were talking about armed forces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, folks, senility sets in from time to time. And so thank you, Timotheus, for bringing me back from that detour. But when I see those mugs, and I don't often look up and see them on the top of the shelf, but recently I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about our men and women serving in harm's way.
Probably one of the most taken for granted
sure.
group of people that have ever served.
I agree. I agree.
We do not think enough about it. We hear about it and we get desensitized to the severity of what they're doing for us.
We do. So we salute you.
Amen.
This day, Armed Services Day. I've noticed, of course, I've never been in the military, Timothys, as you have never been mm-hmm. in the military, but I've watched a lot of John Wayne movies and William Holden movies and Hogan's Heroes and those.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they all hold their hand differently.
They do?
Some yeah. hold it straight up, some cup it.
Yeah.
And
some have an angle
yeah.
kind of thing.
I wonder, different branches of the service, do they teach them to salute differently?
Maybe. Maybe somebody will call in and let us know.
I love it.
789-0318.
You took the words right out of my
mouth. If you can help us.
I love it.
If you can give us some clarity on
yeah.
that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, because I want to... Yeah. I remember the Boy Scouts.
We want to do it properly.
We want to do it properly. Well, this past week, Timotheus, I'm sure you heard about this. The Supreme Court struck down a federal law that prohibits sports gambling. Well, it's been
yep.
in the news a lot here lately.
Yep.
This
yep.
decision
yep.
gives states the right to legalize betting on sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, a lot of people say, we can do this now, we can do that. If I understand this correctly, I'm not a big gambler now, Timotheus. As a matter of fact,
you're not a gambler at all. Come on.
People say, I'll bet you. I won't bet money, but I'll bet you that a lot of folks heard this and didn't think much about it, but sports enthusiasts, I'm sure,
yeah.
did. I know the folks in New Jersey plans to be the first state to offer legal wagering on the results of sports teams, sports results. Delaware, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia are expected to follow suit. $240 billion industry employing over 1.7 million people in 40 states. So why is it so popular? Why is gambling popular?
Greed.
Okay.
Right. I think most sin goes back to greed.
Okay. Well, you know what?
This is my thinking.
Greed or would you think pride?
Well, it could be pride. Could be, yeah.
You know,
I can see that.
The devil was cast out of heaven, we believe, because of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride.
Yeah.
I've never had anyone confess those two sins. I've had people talk to me, I've counseled people, and then they tell me what's going on in their life. I don't remember if I've had, maybe one person said, I'm greedy.
I had a guy tell me that.
Really?
And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
He just told me, he said, I'm a greedy man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't mean it, Timotheus. Let's see.
I didn't say it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But gambling. See, I'm not a gambler. I did one time get in a pool, and I didn't do it. Just the guy was aggravating me. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do.
You know what I thought when you said that? Excuse me for interrupting. When you said I was in a pool,
yeah, a swimming pool.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
There was a World Series game. And I said, whatever money I've got in my pocket, I'm just thinking if this guy leave me alone. So anyway. I got one or two chances. I won. But then he come back and told me that I didn't win. And I had a slip of paper that he wrote down the score and everything.
Ah.
And I was like, I should have been doing that to begin. I knew better to even start with,
yeah.
So I never, ever again.
So your first endeavor, you were cheated.
No, I was cheated.
How about
but,
that?
But
I didn't
mean
to.
My point was, I don't really know because I that's not my bent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking if you're gambling, you gamble with money to acquire more money.
Sure.
So that's why I said greed. Anyway.
Yeah, when I was an 18-year-old boy trying to be a man,
yeah.
I would gamble a little bit, you know, five-card draw, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah?
But I had a limit, $5. When I lost $5, I was out of there.
You were done.
I was done. Yeah, I was also an 18-year-old young man, but a poor young man.
Yeah. Wasn't very good at it, huh?
Well, let's no, I wasn't. The former director of gaming enforcement to the state of New Jersey told a group at a gambling conference. I didn't know they had conferences, but apparently they do.
Uh-huh.
Told a group at gambling conferences in Atlantic City that the desire to gamble was for Atlantic City was tied to how well it is sold as its only product.
Gambling.
Gambling, its only product.
That's what they base everything on.
Here's what he said.
Okay.
Quote, that product is not entertainment or recreation or leisure. It's really adrenaline. Wow.
Well.
A biological substance capable of producing excitement. Highs generated usually by anticipation or expectation of a future event, especially when the outcome of that event is in doubt. End of quote.
Hmm.
Wow.
Hmm.
Other psychologists say, here are some popular reasons for gambling. Let me give you four. It provides a sense of partial reinforcement that we crave. I'll get lucky next time. That's a powerful lure.
Hmm. Yeah.
Number
yeah.
two, some fall for the gambler's fallacy or of believing that a string of losses makes a win more likely.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thirdly, the illusion of control causes many gamblers to believe that they have some power over the outcome, whether it's picking numbers or blowing on dice before throwing them. You know, you've seen people do that in movies.
Yeah, baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And fourthly, less aversion is a major motivator, this psychologist says. Less aversion. We feel more pain over losing $100 than joy over winning $100.
Hmm.
That's what he says.
Hmm.
When a gambler loses money, he or she is motivated to keep gambling so as to recover what has been lost.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can too. Listen to what Solomon said, and I'm going to take his word over it. He said, those who work their land will have abundant food,
yeah,
but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 28:19. He couldn't stop, though. He added this. Whoever loves money never has enough.
Yeah.
Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. And then the Apostle Paul. I mean, things would be so much better if folks just didn't bring the Bible into things, right?
Yeah.
Then the Apostle Paul's warned, quote, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil.
Not the money itself, the love of money.
There you go. The love of money. So that's been handed down now by the Supreme Court.
Clearing the way.
You know, Timotheus, it's an addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody, but it's like alcohol.
Yeah.
It can become an addiction. Anything can become an addiction. We know that. But there's as many as 750,000. I was pulling the Barack Obama there saying 59 states. Anyway, as many as 750,000 young people have a gambling addiction. Young people.
Young people.
Young people. People between the ages, you tell me if this is young, between the ages of 20 and 30.
Well, it is to me.
Have the highest rates of problem gambling.
Wow.
People who abuse alcohol are 23 times more likely to develop a gambling addiction.
Really?
Yeah. An estimated 50% of those who gamble, those with gambling problems, commit crimes in order to support their addiction. It goes on and on and on, which is why I just don't recommend gambling.
Yeah, I believe I just
don't think people.
And I said that as you were reading that, and we'll say the lottery. You know, and people will tell how many million to one the odds are that you're going to win the lottery, but we'll still go buy tickets, knowing our chances. I wonder if there's something in there about conquering that you know, because man has something in that we conquer. That's where the competition comes from. We beat the rest, or we beat the best, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, we like that.
But why would you, if it's 100 million to one, you know, is it the lure that we're going to be that one? That we just blinded to the odds of things? Just questions, I'm just asking.
Well, we have an answer to our saluting question.
Hey,
here. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. There we go.
A brother who was in the Navy instructs this thusly. I was instructed in the Navy to salute with the hand horizontal.
Mm-hmm. Like straight across the eyebrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that. But I just had less than 4 years, so I didn't master it.
4 years?
Bless you. Bless you, brother.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. We heard from the Navy. Where's the Marines?
Yeah.
The Army. And so forth.
Air Force.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, mercy me. Well, all right, Timothy, 7890318.
Or godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Or 606-367, out of the area, in the area, no area code required, 367-0137. We appreciate those text messages and the information that we're receiving. Did we finish the embassy? I think we did, didn't we? The embassy situation?
Well, about the if it was in the end times. No, yeah, I think we did. You said it was not actually in the Bible.
Not in the Bible.
But is it a part of this prophecy that's in the Bible? Maybe not mentioned. But it goes back to, because we've talked about this before, about people were talking about the eagle, how the Bible mentions something about the eagle,
yeah.
And the reference to the United States. But your answer was, we're kind of thinking that the United States is never mentioned in the end times.
That's my feeling.
So if that's the case, then the embassy would kind of be null and void at that point.
It would be inconsequential.
Now there you. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's a $3 word.
I'm learning stuff every day.
I know you are. You're teachable. most of the time.
So I'm a little on here.
So it's called dispensationalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of views about the end times, and please don't fight over that.
Not a salvation issue.
Not a salvation issue. You don't need to drive your point home to the point of driving people away.
Well, let me ask you a question. Some people may not know what you're talking about with dispensational.
Yeah. Well, three dispensations of time. There's been the patriarchal, there's been the mosaical, there's been the Christian dispensation. Now, so dispensationalism says this is the last dispensation, and there will in fact be a premillennial reign of Christ on the
mm-hmm.
earth
mm-hmm.
in the last this last dispensation, or actually when this dispensation is concluded.
Mm-hmm.
It became, I guess, talked about more, and I guess you could view it as an outgrowth from premillennialism. There's amillennialism, premillennialism, postmillennialism. You see why people don't study these things? Because it gives us a headache.
It gives us a headache. It's confusing.
It is confusing. So just remember this. Make sure you're right with Christ.
There you go.
The little lady last night, you know, was baptized into mm-hmm. Christ, and her brother was later.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about little Gabby and Braylon.
Sweet.
Oh my. Love them dearly. And so, just make sure you're right with Christ. Because there's going to be a wealth of things that we will never learn. We're never going to learn it all.
So you mean we can repent of our sins. We can ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
We can be baptized.
Yes.
And we don't know all this stuff?
We do not.
Really?
The main thing that we need to know, and I love how Jeremiah put it. You know Jeremiah, the weeping prophet?
Oh, yeah. Doing a little reading in Jeremiah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you'll appreciate this then.
I was in chapter 20 today.
Chapter 20.
Yeah.
Well, I think you've already read the reference that I'm thinking of. I think it's in Jeremiah 9 or Jeremiah 10. And since you're beyond that, you could probably quote it for us. So go ahead while I'm looking for it.
I didn't study it that hard.
You didn't actually put the pencil to it.
I didn't put the pencil to it, but I've been reading through Jeremiah.
Well, Jeremiah says that this is what the Lord says. I love it. I love it when the Lord says it. This is what the Lord says. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. And it says this, "Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boast about this." Ready, Timotheus?
I'm ready.
"That he understands and knows me,
there
that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth." That's the main thing to know is Jesus.
And the main thing is?
To keep the main thing, of course. We got two calls in less than 2 minutes now.
Let's try to get in here real quick if we can. Good morning. Welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to ask Jerry a question on how do you handle people that want to argue about the Bible?
The Bible teaches not to argue with a fool, lest you become a fool.
Now, but you're not necessarily calling the other person a fool.
Not necessarily, but most of the time people who just want to argue are foolish. The Bible says in Proverbs 26 and Proverbs 12, both places, that someone who will not listen to instruction. Now, if they've got something worthwhile to say, I'll listen. But if they're arguing points that really don't matter or just unbiblical, walk away.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, it'll leave you completely frustrated and aggravated. And don't argue. Just don't argue.
Leave well enough alone.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, just have a little respect and go on.
Yeah, tell them you love them, you pray for them, but don't stand there and debate it. That makes Christ look even worse.
I think that hurts them when you say, I'll pray for you.
Oh, I know it does.
Yeah.
The psalmist David, you ought to read some of his psalms about what he prayed for some of the folks that that were really dead set against him. It's called imprecatory prayer. Pretty enlightening, really. But don't argue. Bless your heart.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to another phone line real quick. Good morning. Welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment?
Hey, Tim. This is Miss Kathy. Good morning to you and Jerry. How are y'all doing?
Just fine.
Good morning.
And you?
We're doing fine. I know you're all getting ready to go off the air, but I just wanted to give a big shout-out to our teachers at Little Light Academy. When we were having practice yesterday evening before His Grace, our little own Connor Click led the prayer, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Tim was there, of course, with us, and it just showed how our kids are really being taught over at school, because it was absolutely a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And then to see Gabby come forward and be baptized last night and give her life to Christ, and I just wanted to give a big praise report to our teachers over the last.
Bless your little heart. Thank you.
Amen.
That was a beautiful example.
It was.
It really was. It really touched us during our practice, though. So I just wanted to do that before you guys went off there and say, have a great day, and, you know.
Thank you, sister. And their graduation is tonight.
It is tonight, yes.
7 o'clock. Family Life.
7 o'clock.
Bless you.
Okay,
thank you, Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome. Y'all have a good day.
Alrighty, bye-bye. That was a great prayer. Great prayer. Anyway, thank you for joining us for today for God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Glen Avenue in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 Sunday morning. Sunday morning worship at 10:30. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So be sure to join us at Highland Church of Christ. And join us next Thursday for another edition of God's Point of View.